Hey, this is George.
And this is Sarah.
And we are
Talking Messy,
where tough love meets compassionate honesty.
We may be 0% politically correct, but we're 100% emotionally intentional. So here's what.
There is this thing that seems like really benign most of the time when you first think about it. Like, and it's having a crush. Like, I have a crush on so-and-so, and you feel all a flutter when you get around them, and you're like, yeah, I'm even just... Okay, so...
You're already fluttering.
I know, like, I'm already fluttering.
Just bringing up the conversation.
I know, because here's the thing. I have a crush on somebody that I feel as if I should not have a crush on, and it is driving me crazy! Oh my gosh.
So what are your reasons for why you shouldn't?
There were some dynamic issues that's been taken care of. That's mm-hmm. in the past. Usually, if I find somebody on the rebound, that's a plus for me. But I'm in a situation where I know both of the rebound people, so that's bad. Because I'm there's just, you know, when you have like, oh, I'm already friends with the person and everything, and it's that awkward, like, I don't want to end the friendship. I really like the friendship. And you're left with that decision of what do you do of risking a friendship with somebody. Also, there is the decision of, do I risk looking like a complete jackass by exposing the fact that I have this crush? Now, my preferred method is to act like a jackass, whether I say anything or not, whether I admit to it or not. I like kind of throw myself that at them a little bit and see what kind of response I'm getting, and then inevitably my verbal diarrhea takes over and I say something stupid, and there we go, and then I wait and see, and then I mean, don't you ever get like that around crushes? Come on.
No.
What?
No.
What happens for you?
So, oh wow, it's been so long. For me with crushes, I'm usually pretty direct. I place a really high value on my time, and I don't want to waste mine or theirs, and so I pursue it, and if it doesn't happen, then fine, I move on and save myself the time.
Even if you're humiliated by admitting to it?
I don't feel humiliated because I put myself out there. So that's the thing, is like a lot of people feel really uncomfortable with making themselves vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And when we express our feelings, that gives the opportunity for us to be vulnerable. Right. I have no problem with being vulnerable. I will put it out there.
Okay, see, this is where we diverge a
lot. Yes.
Like with my friends, I feel okay with being vulnerable and saying things like, I really like you, and this is this quality I love about you, and I love that you're so elegant or so dapper or so tactful, or I'm envious. Usually it's I'm envious that you have tact. But as soon as the feelings happen, then I go, they're going to think I'm stupid, and the vulnerability shuts down, or I say something vulnerable and then I run away like a squirrel. I'm like, run away. I'm like a third grader or something where I'm just going to like punch him in the face and then run away, when really all I want to do is grab him and like with this guy, I just want to grab him and like cuddle him and kiss him and all that. It's not even like thinking sexy time. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to like kiss him. And so I'm also a horrible person for him because he's a nice guy.
Ooh. Maybe you need a nice. I mean, you have nice guys.
Yeah, I'm a bad influence. Okay, so you have a crush on somebody and you walk up to them and you're like, I have a crush on you, yes?
I mean, not directly necessarily like I have a crush on you, but maybe like I'm interested in you.
Mm-hmm. And how's that working out for you?
It's worked pretty well in the past.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it has. For the most part. But then again, like, I also don't see it as being a bad thing when someone turns me down. It's like, okay, I wasted that time. Yeah. Or I didn't waste that time, I mean. Yeah. And so I can then, you know, adjust and find somebody else to crush on.
Okay, so I did have one guy, and I said, I did actually say, hey, you know what, I kind of have a crush on you. And he's like, I kind of got that feeling. And I went, now I'm going to be under the sofa for the rest of the evening in case anyone needs to find me. And he's like, no, 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 it's fine, it's fine. And we laughed. And later on, we did text each other. And I was like, everything cool? And he's like, yes, I want to be a friend and all this. And so it did work out fine. So I should probably go off that history of like, all right, just say something, get it over with. And it was like a mild crush that had happened for a while. Just one of those, like, if something happened, hey, that'd be cool. And I guess now he knows from now on, like, I want to climb that tree if it happens. Like, right. Yeah.
Now I know who we're talking about.
Shut up. No, you don't, actually. You don't.
Okay.
And secrets. And then with other ones, I just think, yeah, I get that. That little kid thing of like, run away. Mm-hmm. The other thing that bothers me is by not saying anything, the all-consuming part of it. Now, I know you identify with this, where mm-hmm. you can't stop thinking about a person.
Oh, God, yes.
And you are reticent to say something mm-hmm. pretty much to anyone, except for maybe a couple of close friends sitting here.
Right.
In this room. Mm-hmm. And where are the cats?
Yeah, I will gladly confide in a cat.
Yes, any always day. Confide in the cat. So, yeah, in lieu of going forward with it, if I decide in my head this is possibly not a good idea to move forward mm-hmm. with this, how do I get rid of it?
I don't know that there is like a cut and dried answer for that. I think a lot of people, when they move on to another crush, it can go away.
Okay, I need to find another crush. Good. There's step number
that's
one.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, there's one option.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Some people, you know, they hold on to it for a while until they see a flaw in the other person. And then it's like, oh, yeah, what was I thinking? Some people hold on to it. I mean, to be honest, you know, I mean, there's one person in particular that I have dated in my past that keeps popping into my mind. And
you can re-crush on somebody you've dated before, mm-hmm. especially if it ended pretty well.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that we're still friends, but I know that the relationship side won't work. And so I have to constantly, like, tell myself when I start thinking back. It's like, oh, I really mm-hmm. like him. It's like, yeah, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, I was talking to someone last night who, he put it as he idealizes the good parts of what happened. And it's almost this idolatry of a romance.
So I have seen that happen. And it's really interesting from my observation, what I have seen is men, when they end a relationship, and I'm saying like heterosexual relationship, when men end the relationship, they tend to idealize their former partner. They overlook a lot of the crazy and all that kind of stuff. And this
thank
is
goodness.
This is why a lot of times like you get the drunk text, you know, mm-hmm. from the guys, because they do tend to see the good side, whereas women will hold on to the bad. Like, fuck him, he's an asshole, like, I will never get back with him. But at some point, I feel like that shifts, where the women finally go, you know, no, I mean, there were some good things
there,
too.
It wasn't that bad.
Uh-huh. And it's almost like talking yourself back into something. And especially if the guy is still, you know, thinking ideally about the relationship and, like, wanting to come back. A lot of times women are like, well, you know, there were good things, especially in like times of loneliness. Mm. And, you know, when we are vulnerable to things like that. And again, this is like, I don't.
We love to overgeneralize. Just, yeah.
I know. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you disagree with it, it's totally fine. Because see, my thing is, I have not had a lot of long-term relationships.
Nor have I.
Right. I had, you know, I have white nerd. But then outside of that, a lot of them have been shorter, like under a year or under 6 months or something. And those are the ones that are easier for me to idealize than the longer term ones. The longer term ones, I have a lot more ammunition to remind me, like, that shit was fucked up.
Right.
Or the ones that are the worst are the common ones that that maybe there was a guy in my 20s and it was off and on over a few years. Like, he'd be single, he'd be without his girlfriend, blah, blah, we'd get together. And then when he was with somebody, we would be sort of invisible to each other. But when he was with me, he was with me, and it was It was le sigh, le swoon. And if he walked in again, I would say, hello, nurse. Like, hello. And I saw a picture, and he's so cute.
And we're sending this podcast to him.
Oh, my. I'm red in the... Oh, my God. I'm blushing. And so the shorter amount of time, I guess I didn't collect as many flaws of a person. So it's way easier for me personally. Whereas the guy I was talking to last night, my friend, he said he tends to idealize the long-term relationships, not the shorter ones. Mm. So we were opposite on that.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I think for me, it's the ones I haven't lived with. Because you see a lot of the day-to-day
stuff. Everybody poops.
Yeah, and it's easier to see, like, you know, God, I hated the way that they didn't, like, put the cap back on the toothpaste or whatever, you know. Yeah. They didn't take out the trash when I, you know, went on my timeline. And that's the other thing is, like, having to step back and go, okay, that was my timeline and it didn't have anything to do with it. But then I'm like, but am I idealizing something where I shouldn't be?
Right. Maybe with, maybe part of my way is, it's not so much looking for a flaw to get over this crush, is looking at the reality of things and realizing how human this other person is, because right now I have them just, I just want to grab them and kiss them.
Right. They have angel wings.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
Not total angel wings. Every once in a while I go, But I need to think of that day-to-day thing of, like, the reality of it, because with a crush, it's sort of like watching a movie or a television show where you see only the best snippets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anytime you have a script of sorts, those are the exciting parts of the characters' lives. Mm-hmm. And you don't see the day-to-day, like just taking out the trash or cleaning the litter box or things like that. Because that would be boring to watch and that would be boring to think about. You can think about it in your head and have this great fantasy life about it, but then reality will set in. So I need to be a little more realistic.
Yeah. And I think, you know...
And up for a new crush, just in case. Yeah, totally up for that. I could have meaningless sex. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, it's something.
I'm in a situation where I can. For those of you that are not, sorry. I guess I could. I don't know. What if they talk?
I think you brought up a really interesting thing about, you know, knowing both people. And kind of running in the same circles, because I have this issue just doing what I do. So I have kind of become like the lifestyle therapist.
Yeah.
And that pushes me out of a lot of circles, because it's like I can't, you know, obviously not going to date clients. You know, and I have to have not been a client for 5 years. I haven't even been practicing for 5 years. So it limits my dating pool. And then when you talk about...
Do you have a timer set on some of these people?
No, no.
Okay.
But and it's funny because there have been a couple who have come in and I'm like, oh, that's an attractive person. But then I'm like, oh, now I get to know all their stuff. And I'm like, no, I'm...
So good.
I'm,
you have reality right in your face.
I do.
I'm sure you've had clients kind of make a play for you in subtle ways of...
Oh, I had one blatantly ask me out. Which, you know, as flattering as that is, it's not ethical. And I would never consider that.
Flattery. Maybe he'll consider it flattering.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I don't have to live under a sofa.
Right. Ugh. Yeah. Could be flattering. And it's like, oh, okay. Now you got it out there. You can let it go. It's now released to the universe.
And I don't have to run away every time I see him, which I know I will be seeing him on the reg for certain events.
And I think, you know, until, for as horrible as my ex-husband was, one of my favorite things that he used to say... I talk about horrible exits all the time. But one of the things that he used to say was, if you don't ask, the answer is no. And I love that, because if you don't put it out there, if you don't let yourself be vulnerable, you're already giving yourself a no answer.
Okay. I'll think about it. Like I said, I don't want to crush his little beautiful spirit either. It's wonderful. Mm. Oh, gosh.
But see, you have that in mind. And so you can think about that. Like, I don't think you're inherently crushing people's spirits like all the time. Like, I don't think that's your goal you're setting out to do that.
I have imposter syndrome as a human being, remember? It's not about career. Like, I wonder if I can even be a good human being. So that's my own thing. Anyway, so yeah, I just kept coming back to John Hughes today and the scene in 16 Candles. I'm sorry, it just wouldn't be a podcast if I hadn't lost my voice over the weekend. Where, you know, and that they're at the end and she's on the sleeper sofa and the dad says that's why they're called crushes. If they were easy, they would call them something else.
Right.
So I'll just wait for this to exit my head. And mm-hmm.
They do pass.
They do pass. It'll pass. Yep. Okay. What else should I do? Anything?
That's all I got for now.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sure we'll talk about this again. Just us.
Ooh.
And not the interwebs.
Secrets again. I'll tell you who the other one is, too. All right. If you want to tell us about your crushes, then, shoot us an email and tell us all about it, and we'll giggle right along with you, I promise.
Yes.
Comments, questions, knock-knock jokes?
Shoot us an email, talkingmessy@gmail.com.
And that's my story.
The end.